Welcome to Book Club Appetizer. I'm Abby.
And I'm Alana. We are your book-obsessed hosts from readitforward.com.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, this is the snackable podcast for kicking off your book club meetings or for enhancing your solo reading adventures. If you've been listening to our previous episodes and like it, or have some thoughts on how we can make it better, let us know. Go to iTunes and leave us a review.
We believe that most reads pair excellently with a cocktail and an appetizer, right, Abby?
Totally. And speaking of which, if you need a delicious bite or drink to serve at Book Club, go to readitforward.com/podcast and check out the recipes we've selected to accompany this month's read. Avocado toast with hard-boiled egg, parsley, and chili flakes.
Mm.
And a French 75.
We're including the French 75 as a nod to Edith Wharton, who used to greet guests at her summer mansion with a chilled glass of champagne.
Ugh.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, the French 75 is that, but with a little twist. Thanks to Schiller's Liquor Bar Classic Cocktails book for that recipe.
Every episode, we'll discuss the book we've been savoring this month and bring the author into the studio to do a quick reading and answer our most pressing questions. So we hope it feels like the author is right in the room with you eating avocado toast. We've said this before, but this podcast contains plot spoilers.
This month, we read Spinster, Making a Life of One's Own by Kate Bolick. In this memoir, Kate, who is a former executive editor of Domino magazine and contributing editor to The Atlantic, looks at her own decision to remain unmarried and then introduces a cast of badass pioneering women, almost guiding lights of sorts, who came before her that prove an independent, unmarried woman isn't exactly new. The debate about settling down and having it all has been going on for centuries.
Yeah, and Kate's opening line really lays out the crux of the book. She writes, "Whom to marry and when will it happen? These two questions define every woman's existence." In defiance of that, Kate, who is unmarried herself, seeks to find other women who've followed that same path, calling them appropriately her awakeners.
Love that word.
Me too. It's perfect. So, should we recap who these women are?
Yeah.
First, she realizes that America's first iconic single gal, Edna St. Vincent Millay, actually grew up in her own hometown, which sparks her exploration into Millay's life. Kate also identifies essayist Maeve Brennan, who, like Kate, worked as a magazine journalist, and she was once on staff at The New Yorker.
She also identifies Neith Boyce, a columnist who wrote for Vogue in 1898, who Bolick called in a 2003 Boston Globe article a 19th century Carrie Bradshaw.
I love that.
And then there's social visionary Charlotte Perkins Gilman, feminist and author of The Yellow Wallpaper, and of course, Edith Wharton, a Pulitzer Prize winning novelist.
She's our girl.
Mm-hmm.
And like Kate, all of these women had writing and single life in common, so it's easy to see how Bolick looked to these women as forebears. And one thing I loved throughout is it's not fully a history text. Kate really weaves her own story in, skipping back and forth between centuries as she explains her own relationships and her path to becoming a writer.
Awesome feminist time travel.
Totally.
But you really don't need to be a single girl to enjoy this memoir. It's just, at its core, a incredible cultural exploration of singledom throughout the years, the decades, the centuries, and how these women have bucked societal expectation.
Yes. And also, I think any fan of the written word will enjoy the deep dive that Bolick takes into each of these women's lives. I mean, I have to say, I learned way more about Edith Wharton and Charlotte Perkins Gilman and Edna St. Vincent Millay than I have ever learned in any college classroom. She introduced me to Neith Boyce and Maeve Brennan, whom I'd never even heard of, which I think is a crime.
So, in the end, this is a vitally important read that should be on any feminist TBR pile. So go help yourself to another avocado toast and refill your French 75. When we come back, we'll have Kate with us in the studio to answer some questions about her writing process and read a selection from the book.
I with Kate Bolick, who has written Spinster. Thanks for being with us, Kate.
Thanks so much. It's really fun to be talking with you.
We think the rise of the single woman is something prevalent now, and it definitely is. But I loved that you found great examples of independent, unmarried women throughout history, stemming back to ancient Egypt. Who are some of your favorites that you found in your research?
When I sat down to start writing Spinster, I really had a lot of them. It was hard to figure out which ones to put into the book, but I wanted to tell my own coming of second age is how I think of it. So coming of adult age in my 20s and 30s and how these women I had been accumulating had influenced my own life. Because there were so many, I had to narrow it down and put just a few in the book. And so I chose five, and I chose them based on the ones that had the most personal influence on me. So they're not necessarily, they all end up being writers, but they're not necessarily my favorite writers. Some of them are, but it's more that their lives, how they lived, how they thought about how they lived, how they wrote about how they lived, influenced how I live.
So if you had to point to some fictional characters as your awakeners, who might they be?
Kind of midway through the book, I found myself obsessively thinking about my favorite book from childhood, Island of the Blue Dolphins. It was sort of driving me crazy. Like, why am I thinking about this so much? This has nothing to do with this book I'm trying to write on a deadline. I have no time, you know. But and for those who don't know that book, it's about a young girl. It's based on a true story, an Inuit girl who gets left behind on an island in the middle of the ocean after her whole tribe of people is rescued and brought back to the mainland California. And she lives on her own on this island for 18 years. And the book is by Scott Odell. Huge influence on my childhood. And so I was writing Spinster, thinking so much about this book, rereading the book, trying to figure out what it was. And then I realized, oh, of course, Karenna is her name, was my first awakener. That's why I'm thinking about her. That's when I started this practice of trying to, you know, trying on a life for size that wasn't my own, because that was one of my favorite games. I liked to pretend that I was her.
So how have single women really been the driving force behind some of our nation's and our world's biggest moments of upheaval?
The contingent of single women that I feel most qualified to talk about are those at the turn of the last century. So in the 1800s, late 1800s, when women were leaving the farms and small towns they'd grown up in and coming to urban areas to get jobs and live outside of the home for the first time and make their own money and make their own lives. It was a major and yet kind of invisible phenomenon, because we, you know, here we are today, 100 years later, or, you know, 115 years later, and I think of them as being the, you know, they were the models for us, those of us who moved to cities and live these lives. They were doing it all 100 years ago, living out the same struggles that we do with finding housing and dealing with roommates and worrying about money. Can I pay the rent? This or that. But we grow up not really knowing about them. It's a moment of history that was enormously influential and isn't all that talked about. So I was surprised, you know, when I first came across Neith Boyce. That was the year 2000 when I first found her. And, you know, I had studied American studies in college. I couldn't believe that I had not heard about the New Woman until then. It's a very crucial part of female history that we need to know, but then also just United States history, how they were changing the labor force, and what we're living now is what they began.
So we know in history when a woman's real role was procreation, you know, sort of how ingrained the institution of marriage was. But I think it's still so ingrained in us today. And when I think back to popular fairy tales and romantic comedies and novels, so many of them end in a wedding and then fade to black.
Yeah.
Is this partly responsible for feeding women this idea that marriage, I'm on a track to marriage?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's like 90% responsible. And part of it is explicable in the sense that romance it's a really good story. There's a great inbuilt story arc to they meet, they fall in love, they get in a fight, they break up, they get back together, they get married, and then your movie's over. So I can see why popular culture has clung to that narrative as tightly as it has. But yeah, it's really lodged itself into people's brains. And, you know, that first line of the book, it's such a funny line to me, because when I wrote it, and it seemed like just truth to me, that everybody I know grows up assuming that they're going to get married. That doesn't mean they're stressed out about it necessarily or freaking out, but it's just like what you're going to do. And then they have to decide it. And it's they have a different relationship to that set of questions than men do. Before the book came out, a male friend picked it up and read that first sentence, and he said, "Oh, controversial." And I was like, "Really? What is controversial about that?" But it turns out it really is. A lot of people absolutely do not agree. A lot of people do agree. So I think that speaks to what a strange transitional place we are in history right now, that we have, the numbers show, you know, we have more single women than ever before. There are more than half of women are single. So that seems like a story of power and casting off marriage and striding into the future alone. But in fact, we all grow up with this ghostly idea of how to live that we've inherited from our parents and our grandparents. And it's also an existential question, too. You know, marriage is, who are you spending the rest of your life with? And what do you want to do with the freedom that you have right now? And so it's very complicated on a lot of different levels.
You wrote this great article, I think actually before the book came out, I'm not sure which magazine it ran in, but you were talking about developing friendships with women of all ages,
yeah,
because sort of your own age group were getting married and having babies and couldn't give you friendship and support that you were looking for. So you turned to women of all ages.
That was one of the delights of getting older, was realizing that, oh, wait a minute, why, you know, you grow up, you go to school, your friends are the people who are in your class, your grade or whatever, and then realizing that there's so much treasure out of friendships with people, male and female, of different ages. And so now, over the past 8 or so years, I've put a lot more emphasis on that.
And now, Kate, would you read us a selection from Spinster?
For several summers when I was a child, my family vacationed on a tiny island off the coast of Maine. Barely a fleck on the map, it's a mile at the longest point, a scruffy bramble of fir trees and rocky beaches, no hotels or stores or restaurants, not even cars, only a scattering of 40 or so once grand summer homes sagging on their foundations. While the adults read or played tennis on the dusty clay courts, we children disappeared into an alternate universe, sprinting in bathing suits along gritty dirt roads and across wide green lawns, the salt air noisy with foghorns and bird calls. To reach the beach, we raced down a path cut between hedges so tall that it felt like a chute bursting forth onto the sand and sea, catapulting us into yet another dimension. When the tide was low, rather than leap into the surf with the others, I'd break away to an isthmus of tidal pools and boulders to play karana. She was the heroine of my favorite children's novel, Island of the Blue Dolphins, based on the true story of a Native American girl who'd been left behind on an island off the coast of California in the early 1800s, and who survived on her own for 18 years. First, I'd gather driftwood whale bones to stake in the damp sand in the shape of a circle, my hut. There was always some plastic container washed up on shore to serve as my woven basket. These basic preparations secure, I'd set about hunting snails. The little beasts were beyond plentiful, studding the giant rocks all around me, suctioned so tightly I had to hack at them with a stone until they clattered off. Briskly, before they could reattach themselves, I'd sweep their hard, round bodies into my woven basket and hurry to my fire pit, a hollow worn into a boulder, to cook them in seawater, then brutally smash their shells, pluck their dark, slimy selves from the broken shards, and pretend to eat. That my make-believe meal was so revolting sweetened my sense of conquest. I built, then, my own kingdom according to my own laws, and when the sun beat down, it beat down only on me, and when my feet acclimated to the freezing water, it was my resilience that made this so. My experience of being alone was total.
We have some reader questions on our site, in addition to a fun Spotify playlist that will have you tapping your toes and singing along to these songs about kick-ass, independent women. And if you're feeling crafty, we also have some amazing spinster paper dolls that you can download.
Oh my God, these dolls are so fun. I have been playing with mine all day. True confessions. And of course, if you liked this book and want to read more like it, well, we've got your back. We're posting a few recommendations on readitforward.com/podcast. We're producing monthly podcasts for fantastic books we think you should read with your book club. So, as always, when you need something new to read, come see what we've been devouring.
And, as Abby said before, if you like our podcast or have a suggestion for us, really anything at all, let us know. Go to iTunes and write us a review. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter @ReadItForward and tweet about books with us.
Happy reading, and cheers!